Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 through 19. Matthew chapter 16, we're continuing our vision series for this year, the church Jesus is building. And this morning, our message is entitled, Advances the Kingdom of God. The church Jesus is building advances the kingdom of God. You know, I noticed something last year, particularly when I was watching the World Cup and the soccer finals that they were having last year. It's the World Cup, right? Is that what they call it? Right. I just want to make sure I have the right terminology. But what I noticed is that the teams that kept on the offensive, the teams that kept the ball at their opponent's goal, were much more likely to win. If a football team, if all they do is play defense, they're never going to score. Because all they're doing is they're protecting their end zone to keep the other team from making a goal. But to win a game, you have to go on the offensive. You have to take the game to the other side of the field, to your opponent's territory, so that you can score. Today, I want us to recognize that the church that Jesus is building is not a church that is on the defense, but a church that is on the offense. We're not a church that is just fighting to hold the devil back till Jesus comes, but we're a church that is supposed to be moving forward to take new territory for the kingdom of God. You know, there's an old song that I'm so glad the church no longer sings. We never sang it here, but it used to be a hymn in the church. It was called Hold the Fort. Now, these are some of the words from the first stanza. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. See the mighty host advancing, Satan leading on. Notice the host that's advancing in the song is not the church. It's Satan's host. It says, see the mighty host advancing, Satan leading on. Mighty ones around us falling. The church is falling. Mighty ones around us falling. Courage almost gone. Hold the fort. I mean, the whole song is so defeatist. You'd come out of church going, oh, woe is me. You know, it's like the enemy has the church pinned down in a fort and we're just trying to hold on, poor us, till Jesus comes. That's not at all the picture of the church that Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. Read it with me. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You know, I read the story of a preacher who told how when he was a little boy, he heard a sermon on this very passage. And the pastor that was preaching described a little church. And against that little church, right out its front door, the pit of hell was opening up. And the demons of hell were ascending out of the pit. And they were attacking this little church. And as the preacher was waxing eloquent, painting this picture, this little boy began to imagine his church becoming a fortress with battlements and drawbridges and all of those kinds of things. And inside, he pictured the flock of God just huddled together, and Jesus in heaven saying, hang on, hang on, just hold on a little bit longer. And the preacher waxed eloquent and came to his climax and then said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's such a wrong picture of what Jesus is saying here. You know, gates in the Old Testament times signified the security of fortified cities. Gates were most often closed as a defensive action against the invasion of an enemy force. For instance, if you read back in Joshua 6:1, when the children of Israel are coming in to conquer the promised land, and the scripture says, now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Jericho was tightly shut up. What does that mean? They closed the gates of the city. When the king and the inhabitants of the city of Jericho saw 2 million Israelites advancing in their direction, what did they do? They closed the gates of the city. It was a move of defense against what they perceived as an invading enemy force. They were taking defensive action to protect themselves against the invasion by the Israelites. Of course, we know that the gates of Jericho did not prevail against the invasion of Israel, but the entire gates and all of the walls of the city fell down, and the children of Israel acted in faith and obedience. This is the picture of what Jesus means when he says, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church." You see, most often an enemy would storm the gates of a city in order to conquer the defending city. So Jesus' words indicate that we are called to storm the gates of hell and break them wide open so that the captives can be set free, so that the lost can be saved, so that the powers of darkness can be defeated, so that God's kingdom can be established. It's not a picture of hell attacking us. Because let me tell you something, gates don't attack. Gates defend. Gates are stationary. This is a picture of the church of Jesus Christ charging the fortress places of the gates of hell. Now, gates also signified authority. Because in ancient times, the elders of the city gathered in the gates in order to make ruling decisions or ruling judgments for that city, governing decisions. Well, the church of Jesus Christ is called to defeat the authority, the power, the government, the dominion of darkness, and release Satan's captive, destroying demonic strongholds, redeeming the land from the authority of darkness, and enforcing the authority of Jesus Christ, establishing his reign in this place and at this time. Jesus promised that those gates would not prevail against his boldly advancing and aggressively attacking church. And today, as we look at this passage of scripture, we need to see the church Jesus is building, a church that advances the kingdom of God. And I believe the first thing the scripture shows us is the church Jesus is building is a militant church, because this is the terminology of war. When he talks of the gates of hell not prevailing, it is the terminology of war. And what it tells us is that the church Jesus is building is a church that is called to be a mighty army. A mighty army. The church is a body of believers that is alive and empowered by the Spirit of God to establish the kingdom of God in this day and age. The church is supposed to be a mighty army marching forward toward battle. That's what Ezekiel saw when God gave him the vision of the valley of dry bones. In Ezekiel 37:10, after he had prophesied unto the wind and then prophesied unto the bones, and the life of God had come into them, he said, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet as what? A vast army, a mighty army." This is the picture, the revelation that God gave of his church, of his people to Ezekiel. A mighty army. When the life of God entered into those dry bones by the breath of his spirit, they stood up on their feet and they became a mighty army. That's the church that Jesus Christ is building. Not some bedraggled bands of believers barely holding on against the enemy. We are the army of the Lord, and every one of us is called as a soldier to fight in that army. And we are supposed to be marching into the enemy's territory. We are supposed to be taking the battle to him, reclaiming the territory for the kingdom of God. I like God's instructions to Joshua and the armies of Israel back in Joshua 6, verse 7, because what happened physically in the Old Testament, God used as a illustration to represent spiritual realities. And here in Joshua 6, 7, he said, "Proceed and march against the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord." The people of God were a mighty army in the Old Testament, advancing against the strongholds and fortresses of the enemy. And that is a picture of the church of Jesus Christ. Proceed and march against the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord. Now, the ark of the Lord signified the presence of God with Israel. You remember? And God has called his people to march against the city, to march against the walled and fortified places of the enemy, against the fortressed places of darkness, the strongholds of darkness. The challenge the church faces in Matthew 16, 18 is that Satan has set up his fortresses all over the world. He has set up strongholds in the hearts of people. He has set up strongholds in various geographical areas and regions and nations. You will see that there is a particular prevalence of darkness that pervades in certain areas. In some places, it's witchcraft. In some places, it's sensuality. In other places, it might be depression and suicide. But these are strongholds that the enemy has established in various regions. And God has called his church to march against the strongholds of darkness and to bring them down in the power of the Spirit, in the same way that the walls of Jericho fell powerless before Israel, and they were able to march into the city and they were able to spoil the city. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. We are called to advance the kingdom of God. You see, the central theme of Jesus's message was the kingdom of God. The scripture repeatedly tells us that he went about all the region of Galilee and Judea, and he was proclaiming the kingdom of God. In Matthew 4:23, it says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. What is the gospel? It's good news. And the Bible describes it as the gospel of the kingdom. The good news is that God has come and that he is powerfully invading this present evil world that is currently under the dominion of darkness. But God has come once again with power to overthrow the dominion of darkness and establish his righteous reign on earth. The kingdom of God speaks of the power of God. It speaks of the presence of God. It speaks of the dominion of God's rule. It speaks of the realm in which God reigns. And Jesus said repeatedly when he was on this earth that the kingdom of God is in your midst. And that was good news to all people, because it meant that God had come powerfully into a world where darkness and sin had reigned for centuries. Death, decay, destruction on lives. But God had come to destroy the works of darkness. God had come to set things right again. He had come to set the captives free. He had come to heal the sick. He had come to give sight to the blind. He had come to give hope to the hopeless. He had come to give dignity to the outcast. He had come to give sanity to the possessed. He had come to give justice to the oppressed. He had come to give life to the lifeless. Hallelujah to the name of Jesus. He had come to bring all things back under the reign of God so that life could be as God intended it to be. His mission is to redeem all things from the curse of sin and the dominion of darkness and restore all things back to God's rightful intention and under the rule of God. The kingdom of God is what the world is supposed to be like when God has his way and he sweeps over our dysfunctional world, reclaiming lives and restoring hope. And that's what spiritual warfare is all about. It is about advancing the kingdom of God. I want us to understand spiritual warfare is not just about God delivering us personally from the attacks of the enemy and from the affliction that we're suffering. And God loves us. And yes, he does that. And yes, that is an aspect of spiritual warfare. But spiritual warfare is much bigger than that. It is about God's purposes. It is about God's will being accomplished on earth. It is about the kingdom of darkness being defeated and the reign of God being established on earth as it is in heaven. And we are supposed to be a part of making that happen. We are supposed to be a part of a mighty army of God. The church Jesus is building is a militant army. The church Jesus is building is a victorious church. He said the church will prevail. Satan may have set up fortresses all throughout the world, but the church of Jesus Christ has been empowered by his Spirit to storm the strongholds of hell themselves. and bring them down. And as we do, those strongholds will not and cannot stand up against the assault of God's Spirit-empowered army. Hallelujah. Now, we storm the gates of hell in two ways. We storm it through prayer and fasting. And we storm it by going out from this church, living the life God has called us to live, and doing the work that God has called us to do. We're not going to storm it just by sitting in here and singing and saying amen to the sermon. That's a part of what equips us and grows us and empowers us so that we can storm the gates of hell. But it means that we have to go forth from this place and live the life God is calling us to live. If you didn't hear it a few weeks ago when I preached the sermon, God Wins and Satan Loses, it talks about how every time we choose to obey, every time we choose to live a righteous life, every time we choose to do the right thing, every time we choose to treat our wife or our husband the right way, every time we choose to treat our children the right way, we are defeating the kingdom of darkness and we are declaring God wins and Satan loses. So by living a righteous life, by having a family ordered by the word of God, we are defeating the kingdom of darkness. But it goes beyond that. It goes to us witnessing in our workplace. It goes to us ministering in our neighborhood, doing the works that God has called us to do in the community. And as we do that, ground will be taken for the kingdom of God. Satan's minions will be bound. Souls will be set free. Hell will not prevail. Why? Because the victory has already been won. You see, the difference between us and any other army that has ever existed throughout history is that we are fighting a battle in which the victory has already been won through Jesus Christ. We already know the outcome. All we have to do is just stand and fight. Just stand and fight. Because he says the church will prevail. Not only will the church prevail, our cause, actually the cause of Christ, will prevail. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the kingdom of God. One man, one woman, one child, one teen who stands in their place of business, who stands in their community group, who stands on their school campus and raises a banner for Jesus Christ will immediately find the battle engaged because you are coming up against the forces of darkness. You try to start a Bible study at your work. You try to start a Bible study on your school campus and you're going to come up against the forces of darkness because it is presently governed by Satan. But we have the power through the Holy Spirit to defeat the works of darkness. If we move out in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Satan cannot stand, but you must stand fast, clothed in the power of his might. And the enemy will be defeated. You know, this is what the early church did all throughout the Roman Empire. These bold Christians took the fight out into pagan strongholds. They storm the gates of hell. Make no mistake, satanic strongholds do not go down without a fight. The devil and his demons, they fight dirty. You try to establish a beachhead for the kingdom of God in your neighborhood by starting a Bible study. You try to start a Bible study at your school or at your workplace, and you're going to find that the enemy is not only going to attack that and try to get it to shut down, but he's going to attack you personally. And he's going to fight dirty. He may attack your health. He may attack your marriage. He may attack your spouse. He may attack your finances. He's going to do everything he can to get you to defeat, to get you to retreat, to say, I can't do this anymore. Because look at all that's coming against me. The enemy fights dirty. But the Bible says to stand in the power of God's might and withstand every evil advance of the enemy. Hallelujah. Christians who stand up with rock-hard faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will prevail. The gates of hell will not stand against the church militant. The gates of hell will come down when we stand fast in Jesus Christ. The victory is what spiritual warfare is all about. Victory in our life. victory for the kingdom of God, victory for the advance of Christ's cause. Satan and his kingdom can fight, but they cannot win. They cannot stop God's purposes. They cannot defeat God's people. We have Jesus' word on it. Hallelujah. The church Jesus is building is a vanquishing church. And I like that word vanquish because it means to be thoroughly defeated. Thoroughly defeated. You know, when the children of Israel up out of Egypt, God was delivering them, and he said to them, the Egyptians that you see today, you will see no more. You see, because Egypt was going to be thoroughly vanquished. They were going to be swallowed up. You see, this is what God is telling us. The enemy that we see today, if we will stand fast and trust him, we will see the enemy no more. Hallelujah. But to be a vanquishing army means we must go to our enemies, not they come to us. Like the soccer teams I was talking about earlier, being down against the enemy's goal, the opponent's goal, putting pressure on the opponent. That's where we need to be. We need to be keeping the pressure. You know, we sing that Caribbean song here, pressure, 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 put Satan under the pressure. We need to be putting pressure. We need to be putting pressure against the kingdom of darkness. But too often we're backed up against our goal and letting Satan tighten the screws and put the pressure against us. Start taking the fight to the enemy. Start resolving that no matter what you do, Satan, I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to retreat. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to throw in the towel, but I'm going to move forward in Jesus, and I'm going to do the work of Jesus. Hallelujah. Take the fight to the enemy. Get him out of your house. Get him off of your front porch. Hallelujah. Too many people in the church have a sanctuary refuge concept about the church. They see the church as a place of protective refuge where we escape the evil powers of the world and beyond. Yeah, we see it like, oh, I just been beat up on all week long. Woe is me. Couldn't wait to get here this morning so I could just feel. You're not walking in the power of his might. Because if you're walking in the power of his might, you're setting the enemy to flight. Hallelujah. Now it's comforting to have that refuge mentality. And don't get me wrong, we do come to church and we are refreshed and we are renewed and we are uplifted. And that's wonderful. But the aspect of, oh, we're out there and the devil's just beating up on us all week and we just come here to huddle together and feel good, that's not a right concept of the church. We come here to get fresh armament. We come here to get fresh ammunition. Come on now. It's like after a troop of soldiers have been out fighting for a while and they've depleted their ammo and they've depleted the grenades that they, and then they have to go back to their base and they have to get, you know, fresh supplies. We come back to church to reload so that we can go out there and we can fight the battle and we can overcome. Hallelujah. The gates of hell will not stand against the church of Jesus Christ. You see, the church is supposed to be that base of operations. The church is an outpost for the expansion of the kingdom of God, for the forward advance of his militant church. The call of the church is to take territory from Satan and from his evil dominion. This world does not rightfully belong to him. He has been temporarily given rule over this earth. But it doesn't belong to him. This earth belongs to God. And we do not merely defend against evil. We are called to attack. Attack. As a church, we must determine that we will advance and not retreat, no matter how hot the battle may get. As a church, we must determine to take the battle to the enemy and not allow the enemy to come at our front door. God's promise to Abraham was that his seed would possess the gates of his enemies. And that's Jesus's promise to the church when he says to the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail. What he's saying is you're going to attack and you're going to overcome and you're going to possess the gates of your enemies. You see, Abraham was the father of all faith, and we were included in that promise that God gave to Abraham, and he is promising to us that we will possess the gates of our enemies. But this means that we must be aggressively engaged in bringing down the strongholds of darkness. Satan doesn't want you to believe that the church is a possessor of the enemy's gates. Why? Because he can't win if you have faith and obey the Lord. Satan wants you to see yourself defeated, weak, and unable to fight, and just holding on by a thin thread till Jesus comes. Well, you have that mentality, and Satan's already won. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't you start going out against darkness if you're not spiritually prepared. You remember the story of the seven sons of Sceva? And they tried to cast out demons out of this man. And the demons answered and said, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? And they jumped on the seven sons of Sceva, tore them apart, and the seven sons of Sceva took off running. So, church, we got to make sure we're spiritually prepared. But that's what God is calling us to. To be a church moving in the authority and power of Jesus Christ. That's why he said, I've given unto you the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He's talking about spiritual authority. But that only comes to someone who is spiritually prepared. Someone who is living a righteous life. Someone who is prayed up. Someone who's walking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this is what God is calling us to be as his church. He wants us to be a vanquishing church, a powerful church, an overcoming church, a church that thoroughly defeats the powers of darkness. But Satan wants you to see yourself as weak and defeated and unable to fight, because Satan wants to keep you bound by fear and intimidation. So the minute you set out to do something for God, Satan causes a problem to rise up in your home. Satan causes something to happen in your marriage. Satan causes you to experience a downturn in your finances or a crisis in your home. And what he's trying to reinforce in us is the lie that you can just barely make, you're just struggling to get by. Just try to hold on till Jesus comes. That's what Satan's trying to put in us, is that mentality. Satan doesn't want us to believe that we are mighty and triumphant army against which he cannot stand. You know, I saw a little dog the other day, and he was growling, and he was barking up a storm, and he was posturing, you know, when they get their body in that position that they're going to attack. He was posturing against this great big dog. And I thought to myself, if that big dog just decides to attack, that little dog is done for. I mean, he's just going to be an afternoon snack for that dog. Satan is like that little dog. He barks and he growls and he postures against us. But if the church ever realizes who she is, if we as believers ever realize who we are in Christ and rise up and attack, Satan is done for. Hallelujah. Satan has established his strongholds throughout the world and right here in South Florida. We see it all around us. The strip clubs, the drugs, the crime, the false religions, disregard for God, unbelief, and the list goes on and on. And we can look at all of that and say, oh, It's just the times we live in. And the Bible said things will get worse and worse till Jesus comes. That's it. Evil is advancing. Things are getting worse. And I don't even have time to pay attention to that because I have my own problems to deal with. I'm just barely keeping my head above water. We can take that attitude. Or we can hear the words of Jesus and we can let faith arise in our heart that we are the militant, triumphant, vanquishing church that Jesus Christ is building to advance His kingdom here on earth. And that He has promised to us that we will possess the gates of our enemies. And we can cause that to make us charge forth with an aggressive faith to claim the strongholds of darkness for the kingdom of God and see the gates of hell fall before us in the city, in our life, and in our home. Because when you rise up to obey God, it defeats Satan. It defeats Satan in your life. It defeats Satan in your home. It defeats Satan in our church. And it will defeat Satan in our community. When we rise up in faith and obey God. Will Satan rise up? Will he attack? Yes. But if we remain steadfast, we will overcome and we will vanquish. There's another old song of the church that I believe captures the meaning of Jesus' words in Matthew 16:18. The title of the song was Onward, Christian Soldiers. It says, Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. And then listen to the chorus. At the sound of triumph, Satan's host does flee. On then, Christian soldier, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. You see, this songwriter had grasped the hold of the words of Jesus. He recognized the church. It's a militant church, a triumphant church, a vanquishing church. And to you today, His word. Onward, Christian soldier. No matter what the devil throws against you, onward, onward to battle we march. Onward for the kingdom of God we go. Onward because victory is ahead. Onward, child of God. Onward, child of God. Victory is ahead for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Onward is the word of the Lord to us this morning. Onward is the word of God to us this morning. Are there battles? Yes. Are there troubles on every hand? Yes. Is Satan angry when we resolve to do the will of God? Yes. But onward, child of God, because the victory has been guaranteed to us. Hallelujah. Where are you today? Are you spiritually holding the fort? Crying, Lord, it's rough down here, and I'm just trying to hold on till Jesus comes. Or are you with that songwriter singing, Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war? Hear the battle cry of the Lord to His church. It's time, church, to rise up in faith. It's time, church, to rise up in the power of the Spirit. It's time, church, to march against the gates of hell. It's time, church, to claim the victory that has been promised us in Christ Jesus. Will you commit yourself today? Will you answer the call to be a soldier in the Lord's army? To be militant in your faith and your walk? To move forward and to do everything you can to advance the kingdom of God. No matter how hot the battle may come, will you determine that there is no turning back, there is no retreat, there is no giving up, because we have Jesus' word on it. If we will stand fast, if we will press on, the gates of hell shall fall before us. In Jesus' name, would you bow your heads with me? Hallelujah to your name. We thank you.
We thank you. We thank you for your word this morning, oh God. A word of faith, a word of power, a word of authority, a prophetic word for this moment and this time. And Father, I pray that we will rise up with faith in our hearts and we will hear your call and we will embrace your word this morning and we will commit with a resolve of faith to move forward and advance your kingdom no matter what the enemy throws against us. Because we will stand in the confidence of your promise that the gates of hell shall not and cannot prevail against your church. Father, may every person here today hear your call and respond in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. First, before we can be a part of this church that we've been talking about this morning, to become a part of his church, we first have to have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as our Savior to forgive us of our sins and to restore our relationship with God and invite him to be the Lord of our life, to take control and to guide us every day to live a life that pleases and honors him. And if you're here today and you do not yet know Jesus in the way I've just described, you may have heard about him many times before. In your mind, you may have even acknowledged as true the things you heard about him being the Son of God and dying on the cross and rising again. But if you'd be honest, you have never personally come to Christ, repented of your sins, asked his forgiveness, and received him as your Lord. If you're here today and that describes you, but you would say today, I want to come to Jesus. I want to receive him as my Savior and have him forgive me of my sins and welcome him as the Lord of my life. I want to be a part of the church Jesus is building. If that's you this morning, would you just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I want to come to Jesus. I want to have my sins forgiven. And I want to welcome him as the Lord of my life. Is there anyone this morning?